My favorite American politician has passed away, and that's Senator John McCain of Arizona. And many eulogies have already been expressed in commendation of him, and I truly admired him, especially when I learned that he was a soldier during the Vietnam War and became a prisoner of war. And because he was a son of a U.S. Navy admiral, in fact, the chief of the Pacific Forces then, he was offered early release. And yet he refused. And because of that, he suffered more years of imprisonment with torture to go with it. And his principle was that those who were imprisoned ahead of him should first be released before him. He would not take a privilege when others are suffering. In the Senate, when he became senator, he was known as a maverick. That is, he would cross party lines often to vote his conscience. So whatever the party says, which was the Republican Party, he would cross party lines even if it went against his party because it did not satisfy his conscience. And for that, he will always have my admiration. When he knew he was dying, he accepted it calmly. He made it his will no longer to continue treatment when he realized it will not do anything, and in fact, he even prepared his funeral arrangement, including the pallbearers, who will give the eulogy, etc. Everything was prepared. But what raised eyebrows was his instruction that some people must not be present. Some are not invited. And of course, the most conspicuous among them was President Donald Trump. Everybody knows the dispute, the conflicts that were between the two of them from the campaign until President Donald Trump became president of the United States. And because of that, McCain made it a verbal and explicit will that the president would not be invited. Now, you may have your thoughts on that. I thought as a Christian, political disagreement should not matter when you are facing death. But that's John McCain. But this is what I believe. It is a matter of principle that Christians must reject vehemently some thoughts that are against the Christian position. Now, McCain may not bear the thought that Donald Trump would be present in his funeral. Of course, he would have no way of knowing anyway. But for the Christian, there should be certain thoughts that we cannot bear. May mga kaisipan, may mga prinsipyo na hindi natin dapat matanggap at dapat ay magkaroon tayo ng malakas, matindi na pagtanggi sa mga ganitong prinsipyo o mga kaisipan. And this is what Paul has been doing in several of his letters, and we are studying them. And he uses the most intense and emotionally strong language or expression of the Greek vocabulary, meginoito. It is translated in several ways, God forbid, or never, or certainly not. I am using the common translation in several versions, by no means. Apostle Paul is usually giving a proposition of truth, and then he will anticipate a deduction by some of his readers, and that deduction on the basis of a truthful proposition is something that Apostle Paul reacted very strongly. We saw that in Galatians in matters of the law. We saw one in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, in the matter of dealing with lust, and all the rest are in Romans. And in the book of Romans, we began with an issue that pertains to God's sovereignty, and the sovereignty of God is a precious truth for Christians. If you understand it, that God is the one who by his will determines even those who will be saved, and by providence arranges everything so that they carry out the purpose of God. But from that precious truth, Apostle Paul anticipates the deduction that some may use the sovereignty of God to excuse sinning, and even use the providence of God to justify their choice of what is wrong. And we saw last week that that is not something that Apostle Paul would take lightly. He believes, and we saw last week, God's sovereign will does not spare anyone from his justice. So there you have the wrong deduction from the sovereignty of God and concluding that we can sin. Now there's another very important and precious truth to us, and yet again a wrong deduction, the truth of grace. And here we will see Apostle Paul reacts very strongly when the truth of grace is abused. I would like to invite you to turn your Bibles to Romans. We begin with chapter 5, verse 20, going through chapter 6, verse 4, and then jump to chapter 6, verse 12 to verse 18. Romans 5, 20 through to 6, 4. That should be Romans 5, 20 through 6, verse 4. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Now jump to verses 12 to 18 of chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace. Verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Now in chapter 5, you're familiar with Romans. Apostle Paul is putting all mankind on the level of sin. That is, all humanity is sinful before God for the reason that the sin of Adam was imputed to them. We were discussing that in the covenant of works, that Adam stood as representative of all mankind, so that his sin in the covenant of works becomes the sin of all mankind. And Paul is saying everybody is a sinner. Yet, in the face of such sinfulness of humanity, how did God carry out the plan of salvation? And the one word that stands out in all of this is grace. Huwag nating kalimutan na anumang kaligtasan ang dumating sa isang makasalanan, ang maliwanag na kaparaanan at batayan ay biyaya lamang ng Diyos. And Paul mentions here something which I'm sure to many of you is a precious statement of the truth, a favorite memory verse for many: where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Isn't that something very precious? When you know yourself to be a sinner, you know yourself to be buried by the power of sin, and yet Paul tells us, when you know the abounding nature of your sin, grace is even more abundant. grace is more powerful. Kung nararamdaman mo ang masagana mong kasalanan, mas masagana pang lalo ang biyaya. Napakagandang katotohanan yan. But then from there, Apostle Paul now anticipates a deduction from a very precious truth. And it is expressed in that question by the Apostle Paul that probably cites or quotes some of those who are making this deduction. He says, shall we then sin that grace may abound? Eh kung pag nagkakasa, kung ang kasalanan pala gaano man kamasagana, ay mas masagana pa ang biyaya ng Diyos, ay magkasala na lang tayo, at kapag tayo nagkasala, lalong maipapakita ang kasaganaan ng biyaya ng Diyos. You see there the logic. It is the devil's logic, but there is some sense of logic anyway. That because sin brings out the abundance of the grace of God, why don't we continue in sin and we show the grace of God? And Paul meets that with his mekinoito. Then a few verses later in chapter 6, verse 14, Paul again makes a truthful proposition. We are no longer under law, but under grace. In other words, that which is the framework of our standing before God is not how we obey the law, but because of what God has done in grace. Again, very precious truth. If you follow what we have been discussing in the covenant of works and covenant of grace, you are no longer under covenant of works. It is grace that now dominates. And for those who have received the fulfillment of Jesus Christ, this is a precious truth. I am no longer under law, but under grace. But again, Paul anticipates a deduction. Are we to sin because we are under grace? Now you see, in both counts, it's the relationship of grace and sin. And Paul answers with now his characteristic meginoito, a very emotional answer and objection to that deduction when grace is abused. So my message is simply this: salvation by grace necessarily results in a life of holiness. I hope I cannot make that simpler. Ang kaligtasan sa biyaya ay tiyak na mamumunga ng buhay ng kabanalan. Salvation by grace necessarily, and I am using that word thoughtfully. I thought of other words, but this is the word that comes out. It tells us that there is a sequence, meaning it is the result. This is not the basis. It is the result. A life of holiness is the result. But I say necessary, which means if you truly are saved by grace, the necessary result, without which you have no evidence that you are saved by grace, is a life of holiness. So, grace is always first. It defines our gospel. It does not begin with work. And the reason why we can address any sinner of whatever gravity of sin he possesses, we can say grace is even more abundant. It's the gospel. But when grace has truly visited any sinner, there will be an accompanying result of grace, which is holiness. And this is what Paul argues in this two meginoito of our chapter 6. Two things then that follow. First, from punishment of sin to commitment to Christ. May pagbabago mula sa kaparusahan ng kasalanan, mayroong pagbibigay ng sarili kay Hesukristo. From punishment of sin to commitment to Christ, and secondly, from enslavement of law to obedience by grace. Mula sa pagkaalipin ng batas, kautusan, ay may pagsunod sa pamamagitan ng biyaya. And that spells what holiness is. Holiness is commitment to Christ. Holiness is obedience by grace. And this is what happens when a person is saved by grace. First, from punishment of sin to commitment to Christ. In chapter 5, Paul gives the clearest statement of the universal guilt of mankind because of Adam. His sin was imputed to all humanity. Now, if you say that's unfair, the only hope of a sinful man is that there is another representative. So if you reject the representation of Adam, you also reject the only hope for sinners, another representative. If you say, I want to stand for myself, one sin you commit, you no longer have any hope. Yun ang ibig sabihin ng ayaw mo ng imputation. Imputation by representation is the fairest arrangement God has made for mankind. It gives hope. It points us to another representative. And that is why it proves that because Christ is greater than Adam, what Adam has undone, Christ all the more greatly fixes. Then grace is greater than sin. That is what Paul is trying to say. Therefore, the issue is, if you are a son of Adam by sin, and you say you are saved by grace, what is now your relationship to Christ? You cannot leave that out as blank. The sinner saved by grace is transformed to become committed to Christ. Ang binagong makasalanan na niligtas ng biyaya ay binabago upang magbigay ng kanyang sarili kay Jesu Cristo. Eh, yung sinasabi ni Apostol Pablo, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, meginoito, may it never be. We died to sin, there is now new life in Christ. And Paul points to what baptism means for the Roman Christians and for each one of us already baptized. Baptism, according to Paul, is a picture of our union with Christ when He died and then rose again from the dead. Ang bautismo ay larawan ng ating pagkakalakip kay Jesu Cristo, ng kanyang kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli. Now, let me make it clear. It is not baptism that creates the union. Baptism is the public presentation of one united to Christ by faith. So it happens individually, privately, personally, by faith in Christ. And if I'm speaking to anyone here who cannot say that you have cast your faith in Christ, perhaps you are someone with some kind of religion. Perhaps you even like the name Christ. Perhaps you even like this idea of Christianity, but you have not committed yourself in faith to Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are not saved. You may belong to a Christian family. You may be a hearer of the Christian gospel, but until you come to Christ in personal faith, you are not joined to Him. You have no union with Him. So, union with Christ in salvation happens at the moment of faith. But how do we know that? It must be presented publicly to the church, and that is done by baptism. So what Paul is saying is, are you not all members of the church in Rome and you are all baptized? Do you not recall that when you were baptized, it is your presentation to the world and to the church that I have now joined to Christ in dying to sin and living a new life? In other words, Christ has delivered you from sin, and the life that you now live upon emergence from that previous life is a life to be lived in newness to Christ. It is such a radical transformation that Paul uses the language of dying and rising again. Para kang namatay at nabuhay muli dahil sa pagbabagong ginawa ng Panginoon. You will have a totally different view of sin because you have a totally different view of the Lord Jesus Christ. So have you changed your view of sin since your time of believing in Christ? Hindi maaring hindi nagbago ang pananaw mo sa kasalanan Pero patuloy ka pa rin umaangkin na ligtas ka kay Kristo. Hindi maari. You know, this coming Tuesday, again, America and the world will remember 9/11. The day when terrorism came to America at its worst. And you know what happened? Those of you who were there anyway, the first plane that crashed on the first tower, everybody thought was accident. In fact, President George W. Bush was then lecturing to children at that time, and he was told that an accident happened at the tower. And that's what everybody thought. Then a second plane crashed on the second tower. Now everybody knew this was terrorism. Everything was altered when they realized this is no accident. This is terrorism. There's an enemy. And in fact, the second time his assistant came to him, the assistant told President Bush, America is under attack. A sudden change of view. How have you changed your view of sin? That it is not just accident. It is not just everybody's imperfect. If that is all your view of sin, that you have not seen it as an enemy, you have not come to repentance. For repentance is turning away from sin, treating it, and declaring war against it as an enemy. Nangyari na ba yan sa'yo na ikaw ay tunay na nagsisi, nagbago? And that's where the abundance of grace comes in. Experience the abundance of grace in overcoming the power of sin. When people today think the shallow thought of grace is simply it delivers me from the punishment of sin. It does that, but it does more. And one line of our song before this message puts it very well. Grace that pardons and cleanses within. That's what grace does. It does not simply pardon. It also cleanses within. And yes, great is the pardoning grace of God. When God pardons, it will be ultimate. It will be all our sins. At alam niyo, pag ang Panginoon ang nagpatawad, hindi kagaya ng amnesty ng presidente pwedeng bawiin. Hindi binabawi ng Panginoon. Tuloy-tuloy ang kanyang patawad. Kaya totoo yan. When grace visits a soul, forgiveness is given. But if that is all you think of grace, that it pardons me, that I am no longer going to hell, hallelujah, and that is all you think and know of grace, you do not know grace as it should be known. For grace not only delivers from punishment, grace overcomes the power of sin. And that was the danger of the Roman Christians that Paul was anticipating. There's a new version of this in our day. When we treat grace cheaply, as just for forgiveness. I call it playing with confession. Pag nilalaro mo ang pagkahayag ng kasalanan sa Diyos, gawin mong magaang na bagay, nakakatakot isipin. When confession of sin comes easy to you, and with it the claim of forgiveness, yet without penitence, oh, it is a precious promise in 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and unrighteousness. But John did not stop there. Next two verses later, in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My little children, do not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with God, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, that's a precious promise. We have an advocate when we fall into sin, and fall we will, and we have an advocate. But before you claim that promise, there is the standard to live by. Do not sin. Huwag kang magkasala. And here is the danger. If without penitence for sin, yet you readily claim forgiveness by switching to confession mode, beware, because that is very defiling of the conscience. Kung pagkatapos mong magkasala, magaang lang sa pakiramdam, balik ka sa postura ng pagkukumpisal sa Diyos at umasa ka ng kanyang kapatawaran, gayong walang bigat sa iyong loob, walang pagsisisi sa iyong kasalanan, at ang lagi mong sinasabi sa iyong sarili, papatawarin ako ng Diyos. Nakakamantsa ng konsensya ang ganyan. Psalm 130 verses 3 and 4 says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. He doesn't stop there. There is forgiveness that you may be feared. May kapatawaran sa iyo upang ikaw ay katakutan, igalang, bigyan ng mataas na pagkilala. Yes, confess. Yes, claim forgiveness. But fear the Lord. Plead for grace to be forgiven. But do you plead as much for grace to overcome your sin as now a servant of Jesus Christ? Augustine, in the 5th century, has been called a theologian of grace. He wrote so much about grace. But Augustine also, in his Confessions, I believe his masterpiece, revealed many of his struggles with sin. He fought against sin in a very personal way. So he knew so much of grace, but he knew how to fight sin as a servant of Christ. Hindi siya umasa lang, wala nang parusa, pwede nang magkasala. Instead, you must remember from punishment to commitment. The second thing is from enslavement of law to obedience of grace. Mula sa pagkakailipin ng batas ng kautusan ng Diyos, mayroon na ngayong pagsunod sa biyaya. The earlier megenoito of Paul has to do with the deduction of sinning because of forgiveness. Now, this second one answers those who begin with the right proposition. We are not under law but under grace. But the deduction they draw from that is, since there is no more law, we can go on in sin. After all, law defines sin. Law judges sin. There is no more law for Christians. There is no more that which will define sin for us or judge sin for us. And grace will take over. And Paul is saying here by his megenoito, grace delivers from the bondage of law to bring us to the service and obedience of another. Totoong tinubos tayo sa pagkaalipin ng kautusan, pagkaalipin na ang ibig sabihin ay paghatol. Ibilanggo tayo sa kasalanan. Ngunit nang tayo palayain, ginawa naman tayong alipin ng isa pang Panginoon. At yan si Jesucristo. So Paul says, you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Kung paano kayo naging alipin sa kasalanan nang kayo'y biyayaan ng Diyos, mula noon kayo'y alipin din. Ngunit ng iba ng Panginoon. So you do not then discard the law as an instrument of obedience. Instead, when you are visited by grace, law ceases to be in the service of sin. You don't discard the law. Rather, you must now see the law as the one standard that defines for you the life of holiness. Iba na ang magiging tingin mo sa batas. Kanina sinabi natin, iba ang magiging tingin mo sa kasalanan kung binayayaan ka ng Diyos. Gayun din naman, kung binayayaan ka ng Diyos, magiging iba ang tingin mo sa batas. Hindi na batas na binibilanggo ka sa kasalanan, kundi batas kung paano mo mapapalugod ang bago mong amo, ang bago mong Panginoon. New Master in Jesus Christ. Yes, out of love, out of grace. But Romans 13 verse 10 says, love is the fulfilling of the law. So love is not fulfilling what you feel like doing. Hindi mo pwedeng sabihin, eh, out of love naman to. No, if it is love, there is an objective way to express that love. Obey the law. So you must now see the law as one standard that defines expressing my love. There was a time when the fourth commandment that says, you shall remember to keep the Sabbath day holy, was an instrument of sin to you. It comes to you and tells you, I'm always sinning, I'm always breaking the Sabbath, and I deserve the judgment of God. But when grace visits you, you don't discard the fourth commandment. Rather, the fourth commandment now means to you, if I love my God, if I love my Lord, I will be delighted to obey, remembering the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, because it serves my God. And apply that to other commandments of the law. Obedience now becomes the note of your loyalty to your new Master. As sinning was in your former life, you now begin to obey because you have a new Master. Next month when the new NBA season opens, fans will see LeBron James in a new uniform. He will now be Lakers, and fans will await the facing between Lakers and Cavs, the former team of LeBron James. Now, do you think LeBron James will say, hey, nasanay na ako sa Cavs, I will shoot on the goal of the Cavs as I used to do? Of course not. He now has a new employer. He now has a new team, and he will serve that team as a professional. Well, what happens in the professional sports even more seriously happens at conversion. You have a new master. You don't seek the goal of your old master. You now seek that which will please your new master. But what's the spirit of doing that? Now, if we go back to Romans 6:17, I deliberately left out something in my earlier quote, and that is, but thanks be to God. You see, the challenge here is, let thankfulness govern your obedience to the law of your Lord. There's the difference. The law in the service of sin, when you obey it, it's legalistic. And when you do not obey it, it convicts you of sin. But now, under the new master, there is now thankfulness. That this law no longer condemns me. This law no longer tells me that I am a hopeless sinner under condemnation. But rather, this law is now the means by which I serve my new master. How thankful I should be. And in the spirit of thanksgiving, obey. This is very characteristic of Paul. You know, Pauline scholars called the pattern of Paul's appeal as indicative imperative. Let me explain briefly. Indicative means what you now are and have in Christ. Imperative is what you should do as duty because of what you are and have in Christ. In other words, it's not legalistic. Do this so that you may be more acceptable to God. That's legalism. Rather, as he said in 2 Corinthians 7:1, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the spirit and of the flesh. Dahil meron na tayong mga pangako, tinupad ng Panginoong Hesukristo, sumunod tayo, magpakabanal tayo. Ganyan ang bagong diwa ng ginawa ng biyaya sa atin. Ang tanong ko sa iyo, mayroon ka ba niyan? O beware of appealing to the grace of God to excuse your lack of obedience. Are you wearing a label on your conscience to excuse lack of obedience? And you have in your conscience the crown that says grace forgives. And if you nonchalantly, that is without any conscience, disobeys God's law, and then as easily proceeds to the posture of confession of sin, claim forgiveness, no penitence, this is abusing grace. And our soul should respond with meginoito. If you sin and live like nothing has happened, if you disobey the commandment and then proceed with your life as though nothing happened, kung matapos mong labagin ang kautusan, gaya ng kautusang binanggit ko sa Sabbath, at pagkatapos parang walang nangyari, mabubuhay ka lang ng buong sanglinggo na walang naramdaman kang kakulangan o kabigatan, paano masasabing binago ka ng biyaya ng Diyos? This is abusing grace by indifference to the law. A law that is no longer in the hands of a judge, but in the hands of a father. How can you abuse that law? Stir up your thanksgiving to the grace that saved you from the condemnation of the law, and that is to be holy. This is what happens to a sinner visited by grace. And only the hardened, defiled conscience will continue believing he still belongs to God, even though there is no consequent life of holiness. John Owen is one of the greatest Puritan ministers, and he is well known for writing about apostasy. Again, apostasy is not losing salvation. Apostasy is claiming to be saved and yet proving not to be truly saved. And he mentions three kinds of apostasy. First is the apostasy from the gospel, when a person turns to a new way of salvation instead of the way of Christ. Then he speaks of apostasy from worship, when you worship not according to the will of God, or you worship a different object. But it is the third that he says happens most with those who claim to be believers. It is apostasy from holiness. Pagtalikod sa kabanalan. Suriin mong kapatid. Ikaw na nag-aangking Kristiyano, kung hindi ito nangyayari sa iyo na tumatalikod ka sa kabanalan, ngunit patuloy mong inaangkin ang biyaya ng Diyos na ikaw ay pinatawad, wala ka ng kapahamakan, wala ng parusa, patuloy ka sa pag-asang pupunta ka sa langit, gayong walang binago sa iyong buhay, mag-ingat ka at magsuri ng buong katapatan. What a wonderful gift the grace of God is. And when you really know that, never, never use it to justify sin and disobedience. And in our last hymn, this is what we say when we truly know the gift of God's salvation. Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from thee. We should give to him that which grace has changed in us, commitment to Christ and obedience by grace. Let's close in prayer. Makila naming Diyos, mapagbiyayang Ama, walang ang sukat na salita upang kilalanin namin ang kapuri-puring biyaya na iyong ikinilos upang magligtas ng mga makasalanang katulad namin. Ngunit dahil sa biyayang ito, marami ang nauwi sa pag-aabuso at pag-aangkin ng biyaya samantalang walang nabago sa kanilang buhay. And so we pray that we may understand that where grace moves and visits a sinner, it will necessarily result in a life of holiness. It means that we do not look at grace simply as deliverance from the punishment of sin, but that it is a new commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thought that because Christ took our penalty, the penalty that we deserve because of our sin no longer will be imposed upon us. But that what grace has done is not only to remove the penalty. Grace is abundant and powerful in overcoming the power of sin as well. Father, may we watch that we do not play with our confession of sin. What a wonderful means you have given to us that when we fall into sin, we can confess to you our sin and you will forgive our sin and our unrighteousness. But with that is a penitent spirit. For with your promise of an advocate through the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the standard is do not sin. We pray that we may take that very seriously and to say with the psalmist that there is forgiveness that with you that you may be feared. So may we not just play with confession where sin is just a light thing to us and we claim forgiveness without penitence. And we pray that we may understand that grace, as it delivers us from the law, does not mean to discard that law. Law has been in the hands and the instrument of sin to imprison us, to put us in bondage. But because of grace, we have been delivered from that kind of use of the law. Now the law is in the hands of our Father, the one to whom we must respond in love. And where there is love, your word says love is the fulfilling of the law. So may we not excuse our deficiencies with a slight pat on our conscience with a thought that we are delivered from law, that we are free from punishment. For if we are, grace changes us. Grace transforms so that we are committed to Christ and we become obedient by grace. Speak to anyone here who needs to do serious self-examination. If sin has been treated very lightly and confession has been played with, may we realize how defiling of conscience this is, how hardening of the heart, and instead make us truly sensitive to sin. Not that we will seek acceptance through obedience, but that our hearts may be filled with thanksgiving, and let thankfulness govern our obedience to you. So speak to those who are still outside of Christ and make them realize they are not joined to Him in salvation until they cast their faith upon Him. And remind your people, those who profess faith in Christ, that grace should have transformed us into a life of holiness, commitment to Christ, and obedience by grace. Help us to see this growing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.